Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Governess of Great Talents by Emily E. K. Murdoch. Narrated by Jessica Bright. Welcome to the Governess Bureau. You are most welcome, sir or madam. When the nobility and gentility of England are at their wits' end, they send a discreet note to Miss Vivian Clark's Governess Bureau. Only accepting the very best clients, their governesses are coveted by minor royalty, with every governess following three rules. 1. You must have an impeccable record. 2. You must bring a special skill to the table. 3. You must never fall in love. Chapter 1. July 24th, 1812. The waiting room of the Governess Bureau was designed, in the main, to intimidate those within it. Miss Vivian Clark, the proprietress and owner, was of course not a cruel woman. Far from it. She liked children, as far as one could tell, and she ran her business like a ship, without mercy. That was why Miss Meredith Hubert, seated on the very edge of her seat with her reticule grasped in her hands, tried not to jump at every sound. She had met the formidable woman only once when she had been ordered to her first posting, but the interview had been brief. Now she had returned after just 2 years, and Meredith knew without the reference she had been provided, there would be no second assignment. Miss Clark had exacting standards, and only the very best governesses were given a second chance. Not that she needed one. The Earl of Monmouth had been pleased with her work. Very pleased. Both Edgerton children had learned well. There had been no complaints. None that had reached Meredith's ear, anyway. Yet here she was. Positionless. A dangerous thing for a woman of no means and few connections. If only the Earl had not decided to move to the continent. But she had not begrudged him the decision. The Edgerton children were grown now, and they had no need of a governess. No need of her. Meredith swallowed and looked around the waiting room. She was not the only governess with an appointment with Miss Clark, that was clear. All appeared respectable, likely as not the daughters of gentlemen. It was a wonder, really, that Meredith had managed to secure a position in the Governess Bureau at all. If they had guessed... Well... She would not be welcomed to sit in this stifling room, that was for sure. The governess opposite her looked over her book, took in Meredith's slightly creased gown, and raised her eyebrow. Without saying a word, her gaze dropped back to the volume in her hand. Meredith rolled her eyes, and then immediately chastised herself. Rudeness in a governess was absolutely insupportable. Perhaps she should have brought a book herself. Everyone knew how much Miss Clark valued reading. It was one of the safest things to do in her waiting room, while one anticipated her fate being decided. Read a book. Show Miss Clark how attentive you are to one's own education. For those governesses waiting for their next posting, hoping it would be a good one, it was easy to bring a book, any old book. Meredith hid a smile. She had never been one for attempting to impress, and she could tell by the glazed look on most in the waiting room that they were finding no joy whatsoever in... What did they have there? Epistles on Women. Travels of Mirza Abu Taleb Khan in Asia. Wordsworth's Guide to the Lakes... Meredith forced down the smile sparked by the ridiculousness of it all. How far would one go to secure a good position? There was even one reading the latest edition of The Times. Meredith could just make out the headline, though part of it was obscured by a finger. terrifying glass hand gang strikes again.
Yes, the Duke of Axwick,
one of the governesses was saying in a mock whisper at the other end of the waiting room to one of her companions. It could not be more evident she wished them all to hear.
He is pleased with me, very pleased. I merely sought an appointment with Miss Clark to inform her of my progress.
Meredith watched the flicker of eyes across the room. No one wished to give the speaker the compliment of real attention, naturally, but no one could deny their intrigue.
Ah, we are similar then, said another with a smirk. I have just been released from the employ of the Duke of Mercia, your master's brother-in-law.
It could not be more evident that she wished to impress in turn, but there was a look of triumphant pity on the first speaker's face.
Dear me, she said scornfully. Released from his employ, were you? Not so similar, if you do not mind me saying so.
A trickle of fear ran down the back of Meredith's neck. And this was why she had not attempted to pay her way through life as a seamstress or maidservant. The backbiting, the catcalling, the determination to make out one's successes were another person's failures. The sooner she could be back in another house, the better. Further conversation in the waiting room was stifled as Miss Clark's door opened. All the ladies stiffened, their backs as straight as rods as silence fell. There she stood, Miss Clark. Like a queen of her own realm, she looked out with cold eyes across the room and then spoke in icy tones.
Miss Meredith Hubert.
Meredith swallowed. Rising to her feet, she curtsied low and then stepped forward. Miss Clark had already turned and entered her room. It had been over 2 years since she had been in Miss Clark's office, and that had only been a fleeting visit. The interview process to be admitted into the Governor's Bureau did not happen here. Miss Clark would not allow it. Only fully vetted governesses were permitted to step over the threshold, and even then they must enter by the side door. The front door was for customers. So it was with interest that Meredith stepped into the office and looked around. The room was beautiful. Set out quite like a gentleman's study, with a writing desk in one corner and a business-like desk of mahogany near the window, sunlight streamed through and glinted off the gold lettering on the ledger books beside Miss Clark's chair. Everywhere she looked, there was splendour. A globe sat in one corner, a series of gold gilt-framed paintings, mostly landscapes, adorned the walls. There were books of all kinds in the bookcases, languages, sciences, histories, even a few Radcliffes from what Meredith could see. On one side of the desk was a large leather-bound armchair, luxurious with brass studs. This was where Miss Clark had settled herself, looking up shrewdly at Meredith. On the other side of the desk was a narrow wooden chair, with no cushion nor adornments. By this chair, Meredith stood. She knew better than to merely assume she could be seated. This was Miss Clark's office. It was difficult not to be impressed. She was not old, probably just a little over 40, from what Meredith could guess, and in that time she had built an empire. The Governess Bureau. Desired by the best in society, every duke, earl, and minor prince in Europe wished to secure a governess from the Bureau for their children. Great expectations were required from those governesses who were able to secure assignments from this very room. Meredith found her heart beating rather quickly. No governess was guaranteed another posting once one had ended. Miss Clark was the decider of their fate, and could just as easily send them to the wilds of Scotland to a laird as send them packing with no way to pay their bills.
Sit down, Miss Hubert.
Meredith obeyed, the hardwood discomforting and forcing her to sit slightly forward. It gave one the sensation of returning to school. There was a commanding tone in Miss Clark's voice that every governess strove to imitate. It gave the sense of absolute power, and in this room, that was warranted. Meredith found it difficult to meet Miss Clark's eye as she examined her from across the desk. The silence between them continued uncomfortably. Meredith's fingers tightened around her reticule, the soft velvet smooth against her gloves. Dare she break the silence first? Or was she supposed to wait until Miss Clark spoke? "Miss Hubert," said Miss Clark coldly, "you have finished your employment at the Earl of Monmouth's. His decision, I take it." In anyone else's mouth, the last sentence would have been a question, but it was so evidently a statement, Meredith did not even bother to attempt a response. Besides, her heart was too busy sinking. Her first assignment, and she had clearly failed in the eyes of Miss Clark. Never mind that the two Edgertons were absolute rascals who had needed a firmer hand than Meredith had ever expected. Curls of panic started to tug at her heart. What was she going to do? Being a governess was the only respectable way she could conceive of supporting herself. She had no other skills. "Except those," her mind whispered, that dark, cruel side of her attempting to surface. You could always go back to... No, she would never return to that way of life. "I have here a report from the Earl himself, in his own hand," said Miss Clark, evidently impressed. She picked up a letter from the sheaf on her desk and unfolded it slowly. Each second was torture to Meredith. A report? Surely she had her reference, even now kept carefully in her reticule, her one piece of proof that she had served faithfully. A report? What could the Earl not have said to her directly? Would his true opinion of her now be revealed? "My dear Miss Clark, I write to inform you that I will no longer be needing the services of your governess, Miss Hubert," said Miss Clark quietly, reading from the report. Meredith swallowed. All she had to do was stay calm. "I admit I had low expectations when Miss Hubert arrived, so young as she was," Miss Clark continued, pausing to raise her gaze over the paper to examine Meredith, who flushed before reading on. "Yet I have been impressed. She understands children more than I could ever claim, and has taken great pains with my youngest. I have seen dramatic improvement." Heat seared across Meredith's cheeks, though mainly from relief rather than any attempt to be coy. Thank the Lord. The Earl had always been a good man, fair and straight with her, but one never knew with these titled types. They seemed just as likely to cut one down with a smile as praise with a frown. But the Earl had written to Miss Clark with much the same as he had written on her reference. "Otherwise, I would never be dispensing with her services," Miss Clark read on. "We'll skip over a part of it. Please inform Miss Hubert that if I am ever in need of a governess again, then I will be writing to you to secure her. I remain yours, etc." The proprietress of the Governess Bureau placed the report back on her desk and examined Meredith with a sharp eye. "How kind of the Earl to share his opinions so freely," Meredith said boldly, feeling as though it was high time she contributed to the conversation. "Indeed," said Miss Clark. Meredith was not entirely sure whether to attempt to speak again, and decided against it. Miss Clark hardly encouraged conversation, and besides, what more could she add? It was a relief to know one's master had not been sycophantic to one's face, yet cruel in letters back to one's employer. "This part of his lordship's report impressed me," said Miss Clark suddenly, eyes glancing down to the paper. "Here it is." I recall in particular Miss Hubert's excellent handling of a ruffian boy on the estate, a tale which one day I will tell in full." Meredith smiled. What a tale it was, though she would rather not be the one to tell it. When the Earl of Monmouth himself struggled to keep track of his illegitimate children. "How fascinating," Miss Clark said curtly, raising an eyebrow. "From where did you gain such a great talent with ruffians?" A flush covered Meredith's cheeks, and her gaze dropped from Miss Clark's penetrating stare to her hands in her lap. The accreditation process for joining the Governess Bureau was challenging, long, and focused entirely on the skills, experience, and wit of the woman applying to join Miss Clark's ranks of governesses. It was one of the reasons Meredith had chosen it. One's family, one's background, simply did not matter. Miss Clark had no interest, save that one was a lady, and she believed it possible to tell on sight when one was not. Miss Clark was not perfect. Meredith sat in uncomfortable silence, wondering precisely how to answer her question. But she had worked hard to keep her history a secret, and she was not about to fall at this hurdle. "A good governess," she said in a clear, unwavering voice, "does not become intimidated by her charges, nor by anyone else." Miss Clark examined her closely without saying a word, and then finally nodded in the approval Meredith had been desperate not to lose. "I find myself needing to echo his lordship," she said quietly. "I, too, have been impressed by your care of the Edgerton children. I had sent another governess to the Earl before you, and I do not think I mentioned when I gave you this appointment. She was lacking, I suppose one would say, in great talents." Meredith ventured a smile. "I was honoured to serve his lordship and her ladyship and their children." "And now they are grown," Miss Clark said. "Grown and off to the continent, I understand, to refine their manners before they enter society." "I will be intrigued to see how society responds to them," said Meredith, her tongue unguarded. Miss Clark's eyes widened. "Indeed?" Meredith swallowed. She always had a rather discomforting talent of speaking her mind, which was most unhelpful in her line of employment. Though she had trained herself, in the main, to filter out her most wild ideas, there were always a few that slipped through. "I just meant the Edgertons are very delightful children, and I think society will be impressed," she said lamely. Silence filled the room, and Meredith tried not to allow panic to grow. Was it possible that her own foolish tongue had talked herself out of another appointment? "I believe the Edgertons were very rambunctious children, and I think you deserve a rest," said Miss Clark finally. "There is a room above waiting for you. Good day, Miss Hubert." Gaze dropping to her desk, she started to move the report from the Earl of Monmouth back into the sheaf of papers. Meredith's heart dropped into her stomach. A room above? It was considered a reward, for she knew all governesses hoped that when an assignment came to an end, if one had impressed, she would be given the chance to take a room in the Governess Bureau and stay for a month. No bills, 3 hot meals a day, and nothing to do. Paradise for most. Meredith, on the other hand, knew it would be the end of her. Days on end without anything to do, with only her thoughts to keep her company. Worse, time with other governesses. All that bickering, questioning, attempting to get to know her and her past. Bile rose in her throat, and she leaned forward, knowing she had to say something. She could not allow this to happen. I would rather go on to my next assignment, Miss Clark. She had not spoken rudely, but Miss Clark stared in abject astonishment. next assignment. You do not wish to avail yourself of a room in the Governess Bureau. I was always given to understand you girls sought it. A holiday, if you will. And you do not want it?
Meredith leaned back slightly on her chair, attempting to control her breathing. She had to stay calm. She had to ensure Miss Clark did not become suspicious. If she were to lose her place here... Besides, a governess of the Bureau is always polite, keeping decorum, and speaks in a calm, low manner. It had taken every ounce of her strength at times to keep in that temper of hers, but there were always fresh opportunities for her to lose it.
"I greatly appreciate the offer, Miss Clark," she said slowly, weighing every word. "I recognize the attention, and I thank you for it. But I like to be useful, Miss Clark."
It was a calculated remark, and Meredith saw to her relief Miss Clark almost smiled. The owner of the Governess Bureau liked useful girls. A girl who did not know how to be useful was not welcome here.
"Useful?" Meredith nodded eagerly. "Yes, useful. I would much rather continue on to my next posting, if you please."
Was that last bit a little thick? Meredith simply did not know Miss Clark well enough to ascertain how far was too far. But better to go too servile than not enough, surely. Miss Clark's eyes glanced toward the report.
"I will admit, Miss Hubert, this is one of the best reports I have received. I have said before, and I will say again, I am impressed. Perhaps there is an allowance we can make for you."
Meredith held her breath. Was she about to ensure she could move on to her next family and avoid the suspicion she had so desperately hidden from all these years? Miss Clark took a deep breath, and she looked slightly as though she was in pain as she said,
"If you would like paid holiday instead to see your family, then I suppose something can..."
"No." Meredith had not intended to interrupt, nor shout so loud, and the censorious look Miss Clark gave her was sufficient to halt her tongue.
"Blast it,"
Meredith cursed in the silence of her own mind and wished she had the power to take back that hurried word. All she had done now was invite speculation, the last thing she needed. Any intrigue into her family would surely ruin her. See her family? Meredith almost laughed at the suggestion. She had no wish to see them. She could not, even if she wished it. Not after the life they had chosen.
"I mean," she said awkwardly, attempting to keep her voice level, "no, thank you, Miss Clark. As I think I have mentioned before, my family travels so much, it is often impossible to know where they're going to be from one moment to the next."
Miss Clark examined her silently.
I wish to be useful, and I cannot be in a room here at the Governess Bureau," said Meredith in a low, humble tone. "Please, Miss Clark, I wish to start my next assignment."
She fell into silence again, and this time resolved not to be the one to break it. She had said her piece, made her petition to Miss Clark. Now she waited. She would rather leave the Governess Bureau entirely and seek out other employment than go back to them. Miss Clark sighed as she leaned back in her leather armchair.
"You know, Miss Hubert, sometimes you remind me of myself. I was much like you when I was your age."
Meredith looked up in surprise. It was hard to remember, sometimes, that Miss Clark had once been young.
"In fact, I was about your age when I first started the Bureau," said Miss Clark, with something like a smile dancing across her face.
Meredith returned the smile nervously.
I did not know you had started it at my age. And all alone? That is a remarkable feat, Miss Clark. For the first time in their conversation, Miss Clark coloured.
A new posting. Let me see what is currently on the books.
There were three heavy ledgers on her desk, the edges of their pages stained with the mottled colours an accountant would use, and as she pulled one toward her, Meredith stared in awe. There were few endeavours managed by ladies. Gentlemen in Parliament said it was because women's brains were not sufficient to understand such things. Meredith had snorted when she had first been told that by a whippersnapper at a card party, when she had been waiting for her first assignment. She had assumed the whelp had been jesting. It had become a rather awkward conversation, therefore, when it had transpired, he had been utterly serious. For all her frostiness and aloof manner, Miss Clark was someone to be admired. As she flicked through the pages, Meredith could see each one was covered with neat, meticulous handwriting.
The Axwicks, the Fitzclarences, the Merciers, muttered Miss Clark, eyes roving over her notes. The Clarktons, the Astors. Ah, here we are. The Carmichaels.
Meredith waited expectantly as Miss Clark read the notes silently.
The Carmichaels.
There were no clues in that name, and she did not recall hearing about the family before.
How many children would there be?
What did the parents, more importantly the mother, think about the hiring of a governess? All these concerns whirled in her mind, unanswered, as Miss Clark sat in silence. It was Meredith's impatience that gave out first.
The Carmichaels?
Miss Clark looked up from her ledger.
Yes, you have not lived anywhere but London, have you, Miss Hubert?
Meredith made sure to keep her voice calm and level as she replied,
No, Miss Clark.
A lie. One which was harmless, surely. What difference did it make whether she had lived all over England or not? Miss Clark did not need to know about that.
No, I thought not, said Miss Clark, which is why you would not have heard of the Carmichaels. The family resides in the north, though the head of the house is in London often.
Meredith waited for further enlightenment, but it did not appear any was forthcoming. Instead, Miss Clark had affixed her with a rather stern look that did not invite further questions.
And are there many Carmichael children?
Meredith hazarded. Miss Clark smiled briefly.
One. An interesting child. One unaccustomed to being told what to do, and therefore not obedient. It is an unusual assignment. It requires a governess of great talents.
Meredith sat up straighter.
I am ready, Miss Clark.
Miss Clark continued to stare, and then finally said,
Perhaps. Alfred is a nice man, as men go. A lord, naturally, the Duke of Rochdale, but 'tis a very small endowment, and to be frank, Miss Hubert, I would not typically allow such a man on my books.
This Alfred Carmichael sounded fascinating, and Meredith had to fight to keep her face uninterested as she said,
Indeed.
Not the sort of title we would accept at all, emphasised Miss Clark. But then the world is changing. Earls, dukes, they are important, but they are not the only important people.
Meredith was utterly lost at this. She had seen the regent once, during a parade. She had never seen more pomp and ceremony in one place, and the music, the noise, the shouts. It had caused her heart to lurch and excitement to brew in her soul.
Not the only important people, she repeated.
Miss Clark shook her head.
His Grace is not merely a duke, you must understand, but is also a Member of Parliament. The Member of Parliament for Rochdale.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?